Look at that.
What'd you do different?
I turned up the sensitivity.
Ooh.
So, nice. If we sit shoulder to shoulder.
Sensitivity.
Welcome to The Realm of Nerd. This is Kai, and I just wanted to welcome you to the 18th, July 18th episode of The Realm of Nerd. As I discussed on the very short last episode, Elijah and Z, my normal code host, aren't here. So I came out to Lawton, and I am hanging out with my cousin, Isaac, and he is going to be our guest host this week. You want to say hello?
Hello, guys, out there in cyberspace.
Yeah, and we did some exciting stuff. So our show isn't going to follow the regular schedule. We're actually going to go for previews, as always. I'm going to talk about a comic book. We will then skip the video game section and talk about, since Isaac is a fairly new and unexperienced Magic player, we will go over some stuff about new players in Magic the Gathering, and then we will talk about our exciting surprise of how we went to a D&D encounters match. And as you know, that I mentioned that I don't play a lot of 4.0, so this was actually one of my first experiences outside of watching other people's games of 4.0. Mm-hmm. And you played 4.0 before, yeah?
Yeah, actually, I learned a little bit of the 3.5, but mostly I have played 4.0, so I'm more comfortable in the 4th edition.
Yeah, actually, there are some news that may be mind-blowing, but we'll get later to that in the episode. First off, let's start off and jump right in.
Back to the action.
To our previews. And the first comic that we have marked is Mind Management number 3. And this comic looked real cool, and I have heard some good things about it, but I really honestly don't know what it's about besides what's in here. So I'm going to read as Minyu's investigation of mind management takes her to China. It's a miracle dolphins. She begins to realize that the clues she's been following have been intentionally left for her. What do the horrors she's seen on her journey do with the psychic espionage agency dating back to World War I? And why does it notorious defector Henley Leem want Minyu to, or Maru, I'm reading that as Minyu, to find him? I thought it was really weird that her name was Minyu. I was like,
So, oh, here's the menu. Oh, hi. No, oh, I'm sorry. I mean,
hey, menu, how are you doing? I'd like to order off of you. So, our next comic is, we've been mentioning these each week, is Before the Watchmen. They've looked really cool, and I haven't picked any up, but I think one of the little guys, either Elijah or Zeke, has. And this one is Comedian number 2.
So we'll give some input later, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they'll cover, maybe they'll pick it up. We're actually kind of skim on, we only have 4 comics that are previewing up, coming up on July 25th. I'm sorry I didn't mention that earlier, but these comics are coming out next week, July 25th. I probably will post this tonight on the 18th. If not, I'll have it out the morning of the 19th. So I'm sorry that it's so late, but the activity that we did was this Wednesday, and we pushed it back, so we wanted to wait until we actually had the experience with Encounters to talk about it.
Otherwise, we wouldn't really have much to talk about.
Yeah, we honestly didn't until we kind of threw this together, because I came up here for a couple days and hung out with my brother and Isaac, and you know, we actually found some stuff. It has been fun. So the next one is an Image comic called The Breeze. It's a first issue. You know I love these, especially from the independents. And it's 1 of 4. And it looks like this cool little sci-fi robots type of thing. and I'm really into sci-fi. I think Isaac is too.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a girl with like orange hair and a gun. I mean, what's yeah. better than that?
Yeah, she has this giant like 50 cal sniper rifle, and she's a redhead, and she's wearing like tight fitting armor.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that is right up our alley. To read what Previews has to say about it. In the future, humanity has doomed the planet Earth to rot and decay, covering her surface with garbage. Now the ancient spirits called Colossals rise from the debris and attack the remaining survivors, forcing the human race to the brink of extinction. One warrior woman, Maya, not Menu, sets out to find the last source of pure water to save the world before the monsters bring it all to an end. So, yeah, this actually sounds really cool and really good, but Watch Image Comic isn't good.
What's interesting is that little brief right there reminds me of the movie, the Final Fantasy movie, because it was about, like, Earth and the Gaia.
The Gaia and Final the Fantasy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one, not the Advent Children.
Yeah, because the Advent Children was based off the game, but yeah.
Yeah, it kind of does look like it. But it's a hot redhead that's not Asian, so.
Yeah.
Okay, and the last comic I have marked, I picked this up on a whim because I really like the cover art, and sometimes I just grab comics for cover arts. And it's Grim Leaper is coming out the 25th, and it's Grim Leaper number 3. It's this guy, and he meets this girl, and his life kind of totally sucks, and he's bland, still. I think he's still a virgin, and he dies, and then he gets swallowed by this demon, and reincarnated into other people who are about to die's bodies. So he kind of is the one that takes their souls to hell. But he keeps doing this and keeps getting put back into these people about to die's life. And he keeps running into this girl. And they're kind of, like, falling in love.
So I get the name now. I get it now.
Yeah, Grim Leaper. They jump into other people's bodies.
Yeah. See, so it's like a mix between Grim Reaper and Quantum Leap.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, kind of. But a lot cooler because it's a comic book. Yep. So we are reviewing a comic this week. And it's not really it's more of an I am.
Yeah.
And it's a first edition. It came out last week. I talked about it and said I didn't really know what it was. And then I picked it up. It is actually really cool.
You don't get much from the cover art.
No, the cover art is just red and has a little flame. And it's called Wild Children. And there was only a 2-page preview in the previews this month. But what it is these school children who are like straight-A students that have promising career or futures, but they're real smart. And they all come in and they're anarchists. And they tell the teachers that they're free to go at any time because they run into the school with guns. Spoiler alert. So they run into the school with guns and they tell them they're all free to go and stuff. And they tell them that they drugged their coffee with LSD, like acid, and they think they're tripping out. But the whole time they keep saying, "I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not going to lie to you." And this one teacher gets up. And they shoot him with the pistol, like, 5 times. And he has all this red all over him, and they drag him out. And it looks like they shot him. And they're all like, "We're not here to shoot you. Again, these guns aren't real." Well, apparently, they shot him, and the guy passed out because he thought he was going to die. And it was really a paintball gun.
So he psychologically fainted because he thought he was getting shot.
Yeah, and it turns out that the kids die. They all get killed. And they were just trying to educate these teachers, and basically everything was the placebo effect. So all these teachers think they're tripping on acid, all these 4 teachers, but they're really not. And they're seeing all this stuff, and these kids are just talking all these anarchist philosophies, and then the cops come in and murder them all, and they think there's a bomb. And they say that they're going to set off a bomb, but really it's not a bomb. It has, like, I'm not going to give everything away, but it has these little pieces of paper with stuff that they were talking about pop out of it. And all of it is about these kids' message. But, you know, the outside world doesn't understand them and thinks they're odd, so they kill them.
So how many are there supposed to be?
This is only one. It's a one shot.
Oh.
It's, I forget how many pages it is, but it's fairly thick. It's about half of a normal trade paperback. So it's about the size of like two or three different comics. And, it's the only one. The story ends. It's just one story.
But that's kind of strange because when you were talking about it to me earlier, you were saying how it's hard to really understand what's going, like, you felt like maybe the could have been more, right? Maybe? To fill in the story?
No. It's kind of hard to know what's going on because you actually have to really look into the philosophies and what these kids are talking about. And it has, like, little footnotes in it with, like, little asterisks. And then around in the margins, it'll tell you where to find what they're talking about. And actually, it's pretty, like, it's all the peace-loving anarchist type of radical hippie stuff.
Radical hippies.
But it's actually a pretty good comic. And you have to understand the philosophies. But what happens is all the kids... I boiled down the basic storyline. But to actually get it all that you want from the comic, to actually get it, is you have to look into these philosophies and read the whole thing. All the kids die. One of the main characters, who always wears a dress and he's a guy, sets himself on fire like one of the Buddhist monks in protest and stuff. And they're just protesting society and stuff. But it has all these different beat poet and like all these different modern philosophers and philosophies in it. But it's on Image Comics. It's called Wild Children. I'm sure they're going to release it a couple more times or press a whole bunch more of it. And it's actually really good. The art is superb in it, especially when the teachers are tripping on acid and stuff. And it's a really good storyline.
It looked very pretty.
Yeah, yeah. It's a thinker's book. So, would you read it?
Yeah, I'd read it.
Yeah, I read it 5 stars.
Ooh, 5 stars. Well, five I'll have stars. To read it, considering I have a hippie father.
You have a hippie... it's right up your dad's alley. Like, seriously, it is. It's kind of up his alley. It's more anarchist than hippie, but...
He's not as much of a anarchist hippie anymore, but...
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, I won't get into the philosophy.
We don't have enough time on the podcast.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, let's move on and have a talking point where I'm not just rambling.
Okay,
and the rest of the stuff, Isaac will be interjecting more and not just asking me questions.
Yeah, because this is stuff that I've actually had my hands on and have more experience, so I actually feel comfortable talking about.
Okay, so we're going to skip video games, which is normally after comic books, and then we're going to move on to... Magic the Gathering.
You should add a cool forward sound there. Like, yeah, exactly.
It probably won't happen. That'll probably be all the sounds.
Oh, okay. Well.
I won't get that much into editing. It'll probably just us be going.
There you go.
The Transformer sound. Okay, anyway, moving on. The next thing we're going to move on is to Magic the Gathering. I do have to say that I have recorded about 5 or 6 videos, and some of them are tutorials that haven't been released on Magic the Gathering Online. And I am currently working on editing them. I used Bandicam. If you guys want to send me any of your tutorials or say, hey, this is out and there's a better tutorial, let me know and I'll put it out. I just wanted to, because I had that short episode, I wanted to record and do some more stuff for you guys out there in listener land. And those will be up probably later this next upcoming week. They'll be out before next Wednesday.
Look forward to it.
But it'll get you into MTGO and walk you through and actually tell you how to sell your booster packs, because I mentioned MTGO Academy, which is great, and their online site that has a bunch of beginning forums, but they tell you to sell your cards, but they don't tell you how to do it, and I walk you through that. So,
I can see that being useful.
It is. I had fun making them. The audio is a little crappy because I didn't use a good mic like I'm using now. I used my Turtle Beaches, so it sounds like you're on Xbox Live or something talking to me. But it's not all that great, but you can understand it. It's not too bad. And if you guys would like to drop us a line, I know I shamelessly plug this again. You could go on to realmofnerd.wix.com/home, and that will be our website. And you could email us on the email or contact us tab, or you could email us directly at realmofnerd@gmail.com. realmofnerd@gmail.com. And you could contact us there. And if you just search for us on YouTube, Realm of Nerd, there. But we'd love to hear from you. We will respond to all that, but since I have a guest here, I'm not going to open up the emails and talk about it without Elijah and Zeke.
Oh, yeah, they won't be part of that.
Yeah, and seeing that they actually know some of the people that emailed us, they would like to give them specific answers, and I will respond to you the same time that I put, probably Monday, same time I put up the Magic the Gathering online videos. But our Magic the Gathering topic is new players. Since Isaac's kind of a novice new player, he got into it when I was really, really getting into the tournament standard type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've since moved away from that and just moved to casual because I moved away from where they do tournaments.
It was like one of those deals where, hey, my cousin's doing something cool. I want to be part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And he liked to play, and he's more of a real good strategist, but he just didn't have the cards to start off with, so I tried to help him out and trade him as much as I could, and he got into it, and he has one pretty darn good deck that's a zombie deck, and he likes to play it and customize it here and there and tweak it, but
I kept playing it and playing it and playing it until I got it how I wanted it.
Yeah, and it's pretty good for a casual deck, and he really likes, you like multiplayer formats, right?
Yes.
Like Two-Headed Giant, and I want to try to walk him through Horde. So maybe when we do the Horde deck, because we're supposed to have four people, we'll have Isaac on for our live episode.
That would be cool.
Yeah. And so what I wanted to ask you is, how is it starting off? Because, you know, Magic is kind of overwhelming with the rules, and it's been a long time because I got into it in middle school. And you just did it recently.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a little bit of background because I did have friends from in high school and junior high that did play. And I watched them a little bit. But a lot of things is if you get too impatient and you don't want to read the subtext and you don't actually read the card thoroughly, then obviously you're not going to do your combos very well. So, but I was confused a little bit. I mean, you were a pretty good teacher, and when you would take me through what I needed to do, you know, after a couple practice rounds, I would start to pick it up.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, you're actually, seriously, a really intelligent guy, but you're saying even for you that the extra rules, not the basic core rules, but the cards, like flavor, not flavor text, but the cards rules were a little difficult to actually grasp.
Yeah, like the basic, you know, flip the card over, tap, untap, play your cards, that is pretty simple and straightforward. But, yes, the understanding the effects and the order in which you're supposed to do all these powers and enchantments, that would get pretty confusing.
Yeah, first. Yeah. And what about the storyline? Like, I've heard people mention, like, oh, like, with the new M13 coming out, oh, where did Nicobolas come from? There's no really backing up the story unless you really dive into it. So, could you get a good story feel for the storyline and the planes that you were on from what you played?
From just playing the cards? I don't know. I definitely don't think I was focusing so much on that until you personally filled it in, and then I was like, oh, that's really cool. But I wasn't even thinking about the story, I was just thinking about the card combos.
Yeah, because you're like a strategist, you like strategy games and stuff like StarCraft and RTSs, and that's why you got into it. But some people do like the story, so I could see that you sat down and you boiled it down just as like a really complicated card version of chess.
Yeah, that's how I viewed it.
Okay, because I know, like, the players that I think that would actually be wondering, oh, where did this card come from? they'd actually look into it and actually find the storylines and read the books themselves if they really were curious. The other players, like you, are just going to sit there and enjoy playing the cards and have the strategy of it.
But I think that's really cool that there is a story.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you get behind the story. I feel that. And how about collecting cards? Because you know Magic, for a lot of players, you have to have a lot of cards. You have to have a wide variety. Mm-hmm. And, like, for me, I actually have to hold the cards and see them laid out in front of me together. I can't just look at images online to find out which cards I want to buy. So how was it, like, actually starting your collection?
Well, I mean, let's see. I bought a couple booster packs worth it. I think it was booster because it was a big pack. And, again, I had a lot of your input. But I can definitely see you needing to spend time and build up a nice collection to be able to do what you want to do with it. I actually had friends in high school. They would, well, in high school they don't have any bills, but they would literally blow all their money on Magic cards each week.
What's funny is I heard a story on, I was in the car driving to drill, and I was listening to The Manipool, which is another great podcast. If you like Magic the Gathering and you're a casual player, or if you like Magic the Gathering and like to laugh, go listen to The Manipool, because some of those guys are hilarious. But someone was telling a story how he was going to this card shop, and every week this guy would come buy a booster box, you know, the $150 boxes, $100 box of, it's like the box that they set out and it has all the boosters in. It has 36 different boosters in it. And they're expensive. So this guy would come in every week and buy a different booster box. And then one week he would buy it and he'd leave. And one week this guy comes in and was like, hey, is Brandon or whatever his name, did he come in? And they were like, no. So the guy walks off and they didn't see him, but he went into this alley. And the guy came in and bought his booster box about an hour later. And the guy comes out of the alley and just knocks him flat out, cold clocks him, bam, right in the face. Oh. And it was because, like, he was yelling at him. And come to find out that he punched him because it was his roommate. And he was taking all the rent money and spending it on booster boxes.
That's horrible.
Yeah, he's spending it all on Magic cards. Which is easy to see because once you start getting into collecting, that's mostly what you want to spend your money on, is when you get into the game, it kind of grabs you, and it is a very capitalist type of system.
Oh, yeah, very expensive hobby, huh?
It's a very expensive hobby, but not if you take it slow and play casual formats.
Yeah, I mean,
because you've probably spent maybe $100.
Maybe, and I'm happy with what I have. Like, I don't feel the need to go and buy a bunch, because I don't have any really reason to play without you. Because I don't really know anyone else that plays, so.
So, yeah, you play real casual just
real
when.
Real casual, yeah.
When everybody else. And you're happy with your one or two decks that you have.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah, okay. Like me, I have a, what is it, the pilot travel cases that you see in the airport that the pilots pull. I have one of those, and all it is filled with different decks. It's full of different decks.
So it takes hours and hours to look through them, huh?
To look through all my decks? Yeah. Right now, it takes hours and hours to look through. Like, if I'm building a legacy or a vintage deck where I could use any cards that I want that I have in my collection, it takes me about 3 hours to look through the cards and even get an idea of how to begin to build the deck. And then it takes me probably about another 4 hours to build the deck. So, yeah. And I'm constantly tearing them apart and putting them back together.
But I bet you have a really strong sense of accomplishment when you get it done.
Oh, yeah. I keep a good deck that I've built after I built it. I keep it together for a good, you know, 6-7 months before I even try to play with it. Or before I try to tear it apart and redo it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered some of the beginner things. Any more comments on beginners and Magic?
I can't think of anything at the moment.
Okay, so we'll move on. Our next section, as always, is RPGs and board games and card games that aren't necessarily Magic the Gathering. So the first thing that we're going to cover before we get to the Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition encounters, we're going to cover a card game that I saw on Geek & Sundry Tabletop with Will Wheaton.
But
every Magic tournament that I went into, they would be trying to sell this game. they'd be all like, hey, do you want to play a game in between, you know, your games? It doesn't take that long. And we'll play a sample game, and then when your next match comes up, we'll play it. And that actually got me into it, because I watched other people, like, because...
That's pretty sneaky and smart.
Yeah, they were trying to sell the game. And eventually, I guess, it worked. But they would have people... They'd always have a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament before the Magic Gathering tournament, and some of the people that played both of the games, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Players, would hang around, because Yu-Gi-Oh! Is gay. They'd hang around and play Gloom.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to stick my tongue out, but okay.
Yeah. But the game is called Gloom, and what you try to do is you have a family of five people.
No, it's four.
It's four?
Four. One, two, three, four. Yeah.
Okay. It's four or five people. I think it's four. You try to actually have them meet their untimely death. And it's scored with negative and positive points. Positive points are actually bad, because you're actually trying to get your family to either kill itself or have other people kill it.
As Will Wheaton said, it's like golf.
Yeah, it's like golf. You try to have the lowest score. And we played it, and it's not just the cards that you play, because you have different cards. You have your family cards, you have your untimely death cards, and then you...
You also have cards
that... Event cards.
Yeah, event cards. But then you also have the cards that have positives on them, and you can play them against your... play them on other people to hurt them, essentially.
Yeah, to, like, get away from their death card or stuff like that. But those are still event cards.
Oh.
And how the game literally works after this is, first turn, you could play a card or discard a card on your turn. Second turn... You can play two cards or discard two cards and then pass your turn. And you always keep five cards in your hand at the beginning of your turn. You draw and see your five cards. And then third turn, you actually could kill one of your players if you have the right card, the untimely death card.
So the mechanics are fairly simple, but this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah, the interesting part and the fun part and really cool part about this game is you tell a story as you are playing these cards. And you have to make up, like... Oh, the father went out, and you'll have a card that says, like drowned or something, and says something about them drowning. And then you'd have to come up with a story of how that title, or how that person drowned, or how that person died this specific way. Like, poison, like, you were getting, like, food poisoning cards.
Yeah, so
you would say that, yeah, I'll let you tell.
Okay, yeah. So, I kept getting these food poisoning cards. Well... I had another card that, like, killed off someone, or I just worked in the story that there was a dead guy, and they put the dead guy inside... Okay, let me go back a little bit. My family was a carnival family, and they found a dead guy in their carnival, so they hid the body inside their food cart, which wasn't very smart, so the dead body kept poisoning their food. And, well, yeah... The name is Gloom, so it's very morbid.
Yeah, if you have, like, a sick or twisted sense of humor or a dark sense of humor, the game is actually really fun and funny. And actually, if you play with some people that you don't know, some evil sides could come out of them. Like, when we were watching on Tabletop, we watched this one person that you wouldn't expect to be really sinister and evil. It was actually kind of scary how into she was, like, killing her players or killing her family.
It was very in-depth and interweaved, and everyone else would just say, oh, you know, they're on a train. But she would work their story into her story, and it would be very deep and morbid.
Yeah, and she was, like, you could tell she was enjoying herself killing these people. But it's actually a pretty cool game.
I'd say so. And the downside is... It was only us two playing. With up to four people, it definitely would increase the amount of fun.
Yeah, it would be really fun if we had more people, but we just got it and tried it out because we were bored and it was just us two hanging out.
And we'll definitely get to try it with Zeke and Elijah.
Yeah, and maybe on one of our live episodes or as bonus content, we will edit a video.
Bonus!
And we will put us playing this game and... We'll probably do it live, because all it is sitting around telling a story, and that won't be that hard.
Oh, yeah, I want to add something else. The guy that found the dead body and did all this was a creepy clown.
Oh, yeah, he's like a clown who has like a skull face. Yeah,
and I kept saying, "You're gonna die, clown!" Which is a quote from Happy Gilmore.
Okay, so Happy Gilmore reference. This episode, just warning you, probably will run a little short because we cut some things down, but it won't be the 12 minutes I gave you. Last week, you'll actually
you only
have
gave 12 minutes?
Yeah, well, all I did was read out a previews and tell them about this week.
I'm really sorry, guys. He shortchanged you.
I did shortchange you. But at least this one will have some content. I think we could talk probably. We're at the 30-minute mark. We probably could talk
actually,
another
15
minutes.
Actually, you should go ahead and send him an email and ask if he should be slapped because of that
shortness. Yes. If you would like to send us an email about me being slapped, you can email me at the Realm of Nerd, or not the Realm of Nerd, Realm of Nerd, no the, Realm of Nerd at gmail.com. And,
get it right.
Yeah, you could go to our website and look at our pictures and hear our backstory, and you could actually listen to all the episodes that we have posted on iTunes. You could listen to them right on the site, and that's at realmofnerd.wix.com/home. And I'll put that in the show notes so you guys won't have anything. But feel free to email us and look on the website. And you don't have iTunes.
No, I do not.
So if you have a friend without iTunes, you could tell them to go to the website and go to the podcast. And you could either subscribe to our RSS feed and it'll download automatically, or you could download it right off the where you could listen to the podcast.
And that's where it's good to be diverse.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
diversity.
So if you have a Zune, you could listen to our podcast.
Yeah. On a side note, did you see how he turned that joke wonderfully into a little
shameless plug?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm horrible about that. Okay, so on to something that was scary and awesome all at the same time. Our other section of our games is RPGs. Mm. Now, we don't have the normal weekly rule or anything like that, but we are going to talk about Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition, which I didn't think I was going to like, and I really had a grudge against it, seeing it played, and I really didn't like the rules when I first read them.
That happens to a lot of people who've played 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was a 3.5 snob. But then I was like, D&D encounters sounds really fun. You don't have to make a character. You just go in, they give you one, and you get a just fight, you know? You don't really have to role play that much, but you could just go in and fight.
And that's good for a first time. But some of the fun is actually making your character just...
So. Yeah, yeah, don't get me wrong. I love making a character. I mean, I play 3.5. I mean, I've played 1.0
D&D. You've made plenty of characters.
Yeah, I've made lots of characters, and I do enjoy that. But this was just, you know, you go in. What D&D Encounters is, I guess we should explain it.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, it's through the Wizards Play Network, through, I guess, DCI does it. And what you do is you go in every week. I think it's on Wednesdays, and ours was at 5 o'clock. So you go in, and you sit down, and you have a DM. You have a dungeon master who sits down and gives you a little story.
He's like, what a fool.
Yeah, and you sit down, and you do one encounter, one battle scene. Mm-hmm. And then you end it. So it only lasts like an hour and a half, 2 hours tops.
Yeah.
It's normally around an hour.
Yeah, because they're trying to squeeze it in. Obviously, it'd be a lot longer if we worked in story. And we did work in a little bit of story. We did try to set the scene for the combat. But
yeah, yeah, there is a... Don't get me wrong, it's just not... You put your miniatures down and play like 40K or something like that, or HeroClix. It's... You go in and you have a little bit of story, and there's an overarching storyline, but you actually get to play and act out your character. And you, there are rules on the Wizards website that you can bring in your character, but Encounters only goes through third level, and then you have to make another character or use one of the pre-made ones. We were with two new players.
Yeah, two young new players.
Yeah, they were probably in high school, and me and Isaac are, you know, in our mid-20s.
I'm still young.
Yeah, we're still pretty young. So we went in, and
as long as my back doesn't go out.
We were, besides the DM who knew a lot about...
You could tell he's been playing a long time.
Yeah, he's been playing a long time. He's an avid player, which is good for a DM. And he knew the rules really well, and he was a really nice guy.
Yeah.
But he actually helped these new people, and I thought I was going to be totally lost from what I saw with healing surges and all this crap. And I actually wasn't. It actually translated pretty good.
That's good.
And we actually felt really cool, Isaac said earlier, because we were the experienced ones. We were like, cool. Oh, we played all this stuff.
Well, I mean, I guess that's kind of bad, because then you're admitting you're a nerd. But it was still fun. And the young guy next to me, he was having difficulties, and I was explaining to him. And there was definitely a sense of being the top dog nerd. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know you're admitting to being a nerd coming on the podcast Realm of Nerd, right?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, sad face.
I know. Yes, if you were here, you could see my sad face. But no, I'm okay with that. I mean, honestly, being a nerd is so much better than being something else.
We get to play games and have fun. And
yeah.
I mean, we may not see boobs as much as the jocks, but but that's why God invented the internet.
No comment. So yeah, we were playing this encounter, which the encounter of us four adventurers, because there are only four adventurers, including, you know,
us two, me and Isaac.
Yeah, we go to this town and we go through this inn. Well, we go to these bars, and you know, it's kind of funny because the bars were like Crab Shack and.
Oh, what was ours? The Captain's Trousers.
Captain's Trousers.
So as soon as we went in, I started making jokes about that. Like, hey guys, I'm inside the Captain's Trousers. I got in the Captain's Trousers and stuff like that.
And that is definitely something for anyone who knows anything about RP. It's definitely a lot more fun if you're just joke a lot. I mean, you gotta make it fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, I made my wizard, because there was no background on my wizard. I was playing a wizard, and you were playing a fighter.
Yeah,
and then the guy, the youngest guy, was playing a ranger.
A ranger. A drow. A drow ranger.
Yeah, a drow ranger. I'm not sure. Drow.
Okay.
But he was playing a dark elf ranger, and then the other guy was playing a human. Yeah.
A paladin.
Paladin, because paladins are crazy strong.
I like to say paladin, but.
But yeah, we were like,
we're the only two that were actually RPing.
Yeah, we were the only one role playing. So we go in, and I decided my human wizard was going to be an alcoholic jerk
named Tim.
Yeah, because if you ever see Monty Python, it was I named my guy Tim because he asked us if we wanted to change the names, and since I was a wizard, I was like Tim the Enchanter off of Monty Python. So I kept going, there are some who call me Tim.
Ultimately, we didn't really get to roleplay that much because the other two guys were very kind of a little bit shy and quiet, and they didn't really know what was going on. So it was kind of hard for us to really have fun. But your guy was great, and then I was just playing a mean old dwarf that drinks a lot. And the other character was a drow, and practically drowing, you know, They're underdark people, so they're usually kind of frowned upon and hated.
Yeah.
So.
He's generally hated by everybody, but he's an elf and you're a dwarf.
Yeah.
So you hate him like three times as much as normal people hate him.
So like even in the game, I was trying to work it out where he actually fired a bow across my face. Well, he didn't hit me, but he like went by me and killed a guy, and I gave him a mean look because he took my kill from me. You know, little stuff like that just to add spice.
Yeah, and I think it was pretty good. It was sad that we didn't get to play as much more role-playing before the encounter, because that one guy was really mission-oriented. He was all like, well, is there any strange things? Is anybody attacking the town? And everybody was like, no, dude, stop asking. Maybe you should go talk to the innkeeper.
I mean, yeah, go talk to that person over there.
Yeah, I mean, like, they didn't say it like that. Yeah. He actually role-played it a little better. But it was a little awkward trying to roleplay with the new people, but it was still, I think, a really cool way to introduce new people to the system or new people to roleplaying, totally.
Yeah, I think it was a very good thing.
Now, what I like, talking not just about encounters, but about 4th edition, they actually simplified everything. And I thought it was going to be so stupid at the beginning, because how are you going to have, like, what normally took 5 different skills into 1 skill? You know, like, you can't personalize it as much, but definitely at lower levels, it just makes it a little easier because, you know, everything that's related to that.
Yeah, and I think that is a good thing, because if the rules are simple enough and the mechanics are simple, then you can memorize what little there is, and you don't have to spend so much time looking through the book, so it actually speeds gameplay up.
It speeds it up, and I think it leaves more up to interpretation, which is cool, because that makes it more open for role-playing the character.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for example, the perception skill. It's just perception, and a lot of times the DM can decide just how vast perception is and works for different things. So instead of looking up all these, you know, little skills, you can just take a bunch of stuff and put it under the umbrella of perception.
Yeah, yeah, and like athletics, you don't have a specific, like, it's normally acrobatics, but now it's athletics, and it took like acrobatics and like jump and all these different things. I guess it used to be fly, like in Pathfinder it's called fly.
Okay.
Or you could jump really far and kind of glide.
But now you just put it under athletics and roll your die, and whatever you're trying to do, as long as it's under athletics, it acts. So if you're jumping, you're still doing an athletics check.
Yeah, and it's all, it leaves more up to the DM, and I could see how it makes problems with a really hardcore DM, where he's actually trying to kill his party.
Well, that's not fun.
Yeah, but I mean, like, with 3.5, it actually limits them.
But what's funny is when you are a DM, you actually do get joy when you almost kill them. It's a paradox, because
I get a big boner every time I kill a character and I'm DMing. Like, I mean, I'm a pretty hardcore DM, but I also want everybody to have
fun.
Slap
in the face, ha ha, you're dead.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, like, it makes me sad if I kill the whole party, if I have a TPK, but, if I just kill one person, that's fine with me. That makes me happy, because I do want to develop the storyline, but I do also want to make it challenging for these people.
But talking about our particular game played today, I got to be first in the initiative order, and I rushed a guy and hit him with an axe and critted him and killed him, and I was very, very happy.
What's the horrible thing is you got a crit, and it was on a minion, which if you don't play 4.0, another cool thing that they have in, it could be considered cool, it could be considered bad, but once I saw it work out, I thought it was cool. The minions, where you just smack them once and you don't even have to roll for damage. If you hit them over their AC, they die.
Yeah, and I see a great advantage of that, because if you have like just a couple bosses, but you don't want to overpower it, or you have a couple people that are decently leveled and you don't want to overpower the encounter for the players, you go ahead and add a bunch of minions. So now there's more bodies there that they have to worry about, but it's not like a huge threat level to change the challenge rating.
Yeah, yeah. It actually makes calculating a challenge rating, I think, a lot easier, because before, when I'm DMing and I'm making it totally from scratch in my own world, I actually have to be all like, oh, so this guy's CR 3rd and this guy's a CR blah, 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 and I'm trying to fit it into the storyline, and I'm trying to make it challenging without killing them, or I'm trying to make it challenging where it could kill them and it wouldn't. But it's really hard to put that in, so eventually, sometimes I just go, oh, okay, so I'm just going to throw all these people in and screw the challenge rating. And I think this will actually make it so, oh, I got these 3 characters that fit their challenge rating. It's a difficult challenge rating, but I want more bodies, so it's a little more difficult, so here's a whole bunch of minions. Or if you're just in a story where you don't want it even that bad, you just want it to feel like a bad encounter.
Yeah, feel bad. Or say, here's one thing. Say, like, if your guys are in the middle of a huge war and you just have, like, minions on the side, like, they're in their small little section of a huge war and they're just fighting their people, but then you have, like, these minions come along and they... Okay, I just started thinking of scenarios in which the minions
No, I get it. Like, if you're in a big battle scene and you need just random soldiers and you're going after, like, a captain or something...
Then you just have minions.
Then you have a whole bunch of minions.
It's like Zerg minions.
And you could just throw... you could keep throwing in more minions until that guy's dead. Yeah. Like, every turn a new minion comes in if you kill them all or something like that, because it's a big war. But what I think is cool, you could do that, or you could do something like where, say you walk into a place and there's a whole bunch of skeletons on the wall. You're in, like, a crypt. And then all these skeletons come out and you're all like, holy crap, that's like 20 skeletons, but they're all minions and you're level one, so you don't really have to worry about it too much.
But if you're a player, you don't know it's a minion until you kill it.
Yeah.
So then you're like, oh crap, and shaking in your boots.
Yeah, so it actually adds to the storyline and it makes it a little fun, but at the same time, it's low risk. But the cool thing about 3.5 is you could die. You could die easily if yeah. you play it wrong.
All you have to do is fumble. All you have to do is get a... Yeah. One.
You could mess up with the strategy slightly and roll badly, and your character's dead. This allows with healing surges with 4.0. They, 4th edition has, like, healing surges and stuff, where it doesn't really necessarily make sense 100%.
No, it doesn't necessarily make sense.
But it's a game. It makes it operate a little better.
Yeah, and then you don't have to rely simply on potions. It's like your body does naturally... Well, that doesn't even work yet either. But yeah, how even with the healing system, like you have a cleric or you have a paladin who heals, they don't heal hit points to you. They allow you to spend your own healing surge. It's a little different, but...
Yeah, so like works. One character doesn't keep getting more and more healing surges. Like, a lot of the time, there's a powerful wizard who doesn't put anything into Constitution, but he wants the whole party to keep healing him. Because he's doing the most damage.
Oh, yeah.
But this could just be all like, oh, here's a healing surge. And then if he spends all his healing surges, you should have built your character better.
And I think that's one of the things that they actually wanted to do with 4th edition, is make it so things are slightly balanced and people can't just overpower everything. Because I know people, they loved 3.5 or Pathfinder because they could, they could break characters. And that's what, you know, they love to break all the rules and find loopholes and make these super powerful people, and it's all based on the combos and the powers, not so much just having fun with the gameplay.
Yeah, and I am still an avid
Pathfinder.
Thank you. I am an avid Pathfinder. I'm an avid Pathfinder player, DM, or GM. And, like, I am still supporting Pathfinder 110%. But after this encounters thing, I went out and did what I would have said a week ago would be blasphemy. And I bought the player's handbook for 4th edition.
Yeah.
I read the PDF before. But now that I've played it and actually got some hands-on experience... I actually do want to see where this could go, and everybody plays Dungeons & Dragons.
I also think it helped that, was it Zeke wanted to play?
Yeah. Zeke has the Pathfinders, or not the Pathfinder, the Dungeons & Dragons Player's Handbook, and he bought the DM manual just recently, and he's reading through that while he's on vacation. And Isaac has the Pathfinder.
No. 4th edition.
Not Pathfinder. 4th edition. I keep saying Pathfinder, yeah. But I mean Dungeons & Dragons. But he has the 4E Player's Handbook.
Yeah, because I had a bunch of friends who had originally played 3.5, but then 4th came out, and they all wanted to play it. So they were buying books, and I went ahead and bought Player's Handbook, and they usually spent most of the money on the other books. But we would play regularly, like once a week, and sometimes even more than that during the summer. It's kind of ridiculous, but... So I have a really good foundation of it, and I'm excited and glad to see that, you know, Kai had fun.
I had a lot of fun, and I think eventually we will maybe do some map tool games once I move, because I'll be moving back near Isaac where we could start doing encounters and stuff, and he'll probably be on the podcast a little more if he wants to.
Woot woot.
And we'll do a Skype video a video call or Skype audio call and record it off of there instead of doing it all in person, so I could be in one city 2 hours away from Elijah and Zeke, and we all can have a big podcast party and still release the podcast every week.
He's going to utilize technology.
Ooh, nerds utilizing technology. And that way, we could do that. And also, when we're doing that, we probably can play Dungeons and Dragons with Map Tool, because Isaac's a great storyteller, and I'd be really excited to play some of his games.
Yeah, that would be fun, because I really do like to be creative and come up with stories, and I would actually feel comfortable making a story in that particular 4th edition, because I'm more comfortable with the mechanics.
Yeah, he actually knew them better than me, and I'm a big rules lawyer, and I guess I didn't read them well enough, and didn't see all the benefits to this system. But what I was talking about is Map Tool. And Map Tool is a program that allows you to build maps and basically a digital battle mat.
A virtual battle.
Yeah, it makes a virtual battle mat. And the DM sees one screen, and then all the players see the other. And you could, like, put up the fog of war, and you could put out, like, light radiuses for each player, and it'll roll the correct dice for you and add all your modifiers. It's a great program.
I'm trying to visualize this right now, and it just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's a great program. I will show you later how to use it. But you out there in listener land, maybe I'll go and make some tutorials through it. I don't know when, so don't quote me on that. Don't get mad. But maybe we can do some tutorials or talk about it in length more when someone else knows about it, not just me.
At least you're not making empty promises like politicians.
Yeah, well, I will not lie to you, but it will happen. I'll make a tutorial, I promise. But there already are tons of good map tools tutorials, and it makes it, you could do anything from like Shadowrun, Star Wars Universe, any role-playing game, grid, hexagonal, and you can make maps, and it'll calculate, like, you could hide. What I really like is the DM can have all these pieces out, like tokens for goblins or, like, NPCs that are, like, hidden behind a tree, and it actually does point of view. You could set up, like, oh, this is the tree trunk, and you put the tree trunk, and it won't let the players see the token for the goblin or something
until
that's hiding.
They can actually go around the tree?
Yeah, until they actually have line of sight. It'll only show, like, a quarter of the token or whatever, what they can see.
That's got to be complex programming.
Yeah, it sounds really crappy, and it sounds really bad, and when you first start using it, you're all like, this isn't all that great. And then when you actually get into it and start looking up some tutorials on how to use it, it is mind-blowing how deep this thing goes. Because it looks like MS Paint when you first get into it. And then you get different textures, and it's more like Photoshop with Gaming Central.
But in the long run, it's probably like one of the better virtual DM tools.
Yeah. It's a great virtual tabletop type of thing. And it's great, I think, for distance gaming, because you can get on Ventrilo or Skype and run that in the background. And this is a very small, I think you only need, when you're DMing and actually running the server, you only need like two gigs of RAM or 2 megs or something like that. I think it's 2 gigs. You only need 2 gigs to run a whole server for like 16 players.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, it'll run 2 gigs, but it won't even take up a gig when you're allotting 2 gigs for it. But it's a very low program. It's very, doesn't take up a lot of hard drive space, and basically older computers can run it, and you could run Skype or Ventrilo in the background and run this, and you actually could do audio, and you can type what your players are doing if you don't want to do audio, but it is actually a pretty cool.
See, what would be cool is to utilize both, where, like, you do the character voices and the narration, but you can also add flavor text to, like,
And talk to people what you're doing. That? What?
Do like, both. Like, where you're talking, but you actually set up where do they connect. You can actually text, too.
Yeah. It has, like, a IM window that you can put in it. But you can't. It doesn't have any audio on it. You can only write on that. But that's how you roll dice and stuff, too. Like, have you ever played back when AIM was big? Like, when we were young. Like, when we were, like,
way back
12, 13 years old, and AIM was big, and instant messengers. And had you ever played any games, like role-playing games on those?
No, I don't remember playing any of those. I did get to play one of those MUDs, though. I did get to play a MUD once.
Well, like, in the AIM ones, you go into the chat box, and you could type in how many sided dice you want to roll. And then you could roll, like, D20s. Well, this, you could type in your modifier after it, too. So you could roll a D20 plus 9, and it'll say D20 plus 9 equals 16.
Okay, yeah, that'd be really cool. Now, can you set up multiple dies, or do you have to redo it every time?
You could set up multiple dies. Like, with Shadowrun, you could say, you could put in, I forget how to do it, but you could put in either a macro where you just press a button and it rolls so many dice, or you could actually type it in, I need 7d6, pass, fail, and tell it that 5 and above is a pass. So it'll roll and tell you how many passes you have and how many fails. Or you could put it in roll separately, or you could roll them together. Like, you could put 7d6 individual, and it'll roll, tell you the roll for each.
Okay, yeah, because that could be real useful. Like, if you have a bunch of minions and you want them to just attack all at once on the same initiative, but then you have, like, a couple bosses that you want to roll independently.
Yeah, yeah. You could do it like that, or what I was saying with Shadowrun, or those ones where you're rolling, like, a whole bunch to see if your skill check, you're rolling a whole bunch of dice.
Well, I'm not familiar with that game, so, but...
Yeah, you've played games. I think World of Darkness uses a whole bunch of D10s and stuff.
And you add your dice. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's like that, where you add all your successes together. You could do it different ways, but it's actually a really good program.
So look for it, kids.
Yeah, Map Tool. They have other ones, like they have, I think, something dice. But if you Google Map Tool, it'll look it up and bring you to the site. And there's tons of videos on YouTube that are really good. And some people are just showing off their killer maps and stuff. And you can build castles or anything that you could draw out in Photoshop, you could draw out on Map Tool.
I like it.
It's great. So, I don't know, so I bought the Player's Handbook. I'm a heretic.
Yeah.
I'm a bad person.
It's okay. Don't hurt them too much.
Wild Children was our comic. Gloom was our other game, which is a card game. And, we had the four comics that we mentioned earlier, and I think... Oh, and we also talked about the new players, so...
Yes.
If you guys want to talk to us or shoot us an email or even look us up and see what we're all about, we're realmofnerd.wix.com/home is our website. And if you'd like to shoot us an email, we will read all We will read all emails we get from people. We're just waiting until we get a couple more because we already got some. And we will respond to them on air. I will respond to all the ones that you send me before we read them on air. Either me or Zeke checks the email and responds to them. And it's usually me.
You'll get there and I'll spam your email account.
Please don't spam my email account. But if you want to suggest games or comic books or anything that we should check out, or if you want to send us stuff, tell us about magic card combos or anything.
You know, nerdy things.
Nerdy things that we talk about on the site, manga, books, anything. That would be great. We'd love to hear it. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, email us at realmofnerd@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you guys. We love our listeners. We thank you. Please rate us and subscribe us. And leave some comments on iTunes if you want. And subscribe to our RSS feed because we'd greatly appreciate it.
Yes, yes. And to play good cop, bad cop, he was the good cop and I'm the bad cop. So do it. Do it now.
See? Well, there. That kind of sounded like a Sith Lord.
That's what I was going for.
Oh, okay. Well, then good. This is Kai from The Realm of Nerd, and I want to say goodbye and have a good night.
Do svidaniya. Sorry.
You farted.
Yeah.